Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Who would have thought, John, that the day that, you know, all over the world they have nuclear material just being passed around on a black market.
Very interesting days, to say the least.
Well, Russia's economy's based specifically on oil. Was it $100?
It's expected. Yeah, the proposed budget is expected, you know, to fund their government based upon $100 per barrel for oil.
Right. And what's it at now? It's like
50, it's in the 50s.
Yeah, $50. And so we're gonna see a report on that. You know, you think, you know, somebody's wanting to rule the world, and yeah, mint, you know, hegemony crickets is still around. Hegemony people. When you hear the word hegemony, just so you know, that's the word they use. They're saying Hitler-esque.
Wow.
That people want to rule the world. That's what somebody says. They want hegemony.
World domination.
Of like the caliphate and radical Islam or Islam, you know, is want to. They believe that, as they said when they're being interviewed on New York, we had that on our program. They say, you know, since Allah is above all, then the Quran being above all and the Sharia being above all is the right thing, and everything would submit to that.
Yeah.
No. you know, it could be in a Muslim country.
Sure.
You know, but America's got the Constitution, the freedom of religion. And so so here we have Russia going in, and prophetically you hear about Gog and Magog. If you're one of the ones that look at end time prophecy and what's taking place. And remember this, if you go to the book of Revelation and you look at when everything's wrapped up and the new Jerusalem's coming down and you know, all the stuff is passing away, one specific thing that's stated says that all the prophecy is fulfilled. Mm. So prophecy is important because it's a checkoff list. When it's all fulfilled, it's done. It's finished. And that's how you kind of know, you know, where things are at. And
how close we are.
We're very close. And we're going to have Rosenberg hopefully come on today, Joel Rosenberg as well, you know, and talking about that. I'm going to get right to it. So let's take a look at this, and it's going to explain something very important, because the economy is about to shift, and it can shift overnight when all of a sudden your dollar, the dollar is not worth anything or worth as much as it was yesterday. As a matter of fact, take a look at this. This is Russia coming into Syria and how it's all about oil and to being able to affect the economy. And remember, we're going to talk about the petroleum dollar when we're done. Watch this.
Since the beginning of Russia's military buildup in Syria, world leaders have been wondering what Vladimir Putin is really up to. Yes, Putin wants to rescue his ally, the brutal Syrian dictator Bashar al-Assad, from losing a bloody civil war. And Russia would like to hang on to its naval facility in the Syrian port of Latakia. But is that all Putin is after? Or does he have other goals as well?
We don't truly understand yet what it is that Russia is going to do in Syria.
What experts do know is that Vladimir Putin could create a lot of trouble in the Middle East. But in the process, he could also boost the ailing Russian economy, an economy that is still in the tank from low oil prices and from Western economic sanctions over Russia's annexation of Crimea. And despite Putin's efforts to diversify the economy, it still lives or dies with energy prices.
The ruble is very sensitive to the moves of oil prices. So if oil becomes cheaper, the ruble does the same.
Putin has taken a big gamble with the public at home by going into Syria. Polls show most Russians opposed sending troops to Syria. But perhaps Putin realizes that by moving into Syria, he can protect his ally Assad and gain the side benefit of rising oil prices, thus boosting the Russian economy and his standing at home. Russia's military buildup and bombing campaign in Syria have revived the so-called security premium, a small rally in oil prices based on the fear of shortages in other parts of the world because of war in the Middle East. A big escalation in fighting could mean a big escalation in oil prices. Russia is also competing with the Saudis for energy customers, and war in the Middle East makes Saudi supplies look less reliable. And with its new airbase in Syria, Russia could coordinate with Iran to disrupt shipments from Persian Gulf and Red Sea terminals. So by unleashing his military in Syria, Vladimir Putin could kill two birds with one stone, both saving an ally and reviving Russia's oil-based economy. Dale Hurd, CBN News.
Thanks, Dale. Folks, I asked our production crew to give me a map about what's happening in the Middle East so you'll see the overall consequences. Now, here is Syria. Now, there is the Mediterranean, and here is the Suez Canal, where a great deal of shipment of oil. There are pipelines that come across Turkey into Europe. But here is the place that Putin is now claiming, I'm going to be in Syria. Now, here's the deal. Right next to Syria is Iraq. They have oil reserves of 140 billion barrels right next to Syria. Now, up from there is Iran with 157 billion barrels of oil. And down, of course, south of Iraq is Kuwait and then the Persian Gulf. So the oil flows down the Persian Gulf this way, and it goes out through the Straits of Hormuz that is choked right there by Iran. So you've got 157 barrels. Now, the big prize, of course, is Saudi Arabia, 268 billion barrels of oil. Now, here you've got the majority, 60, 70% of all the oil on the planet, right in this little area here. Now, the other place that can be controlled out of here, the oil will come down the Persian Gulf, and then often it could go south of Oman and back up into what is called the Bab el Mandeb, which is Yemen. And it goes up the Red Sea, and it would be transported to Europe through the Suez Canal, which is right here. Now, if Putin has control over Syria and then comes into Iraq, and he's already got an alliance with Iran, he can force the Saudis into some kind of a concession. Now, up to this point, the Saudis have made a deal with America. They say, we're going to sell our oil to you, but it has to be priced in dollars, which means that if, for example, Turkey wants oil, or up farther into Russia, which has 80 billion barrels, if Russia wants to sell its oil on the world market, it has first to convert its rubles into dollars, and then people can buy oil. But once Saudi goes to Russia, or Iraq and Iran go to Russia, then all of a sudden the deal with the United States is off and our dollar is no longer supreme. We're talking about what it would take to choke off the economic promise of progress of the whole European continent. And Putin, he knows what he's dealing with. So if he has control over the Suez, he has control over the Straits of Hormuz, he has control over the Bab el Mandeb, he has control over all this oil, he will be the master of the universe. And he knows it. And he knows he can bring America to its knees if he gets that. Now, that's what he's playing for. This little piece of land here, Syria, is where he is now going to be in control. He will have control of Syria, and along with it, any pipelines that go across Turkey, the oil out of Iraq, the oil out of Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, the Persian Gulf, the Suez Canal, all this will be under his control. That's what he wants. He wants to take control of all of it, and that's how it'll be played out, but it'll come right out of Syria. Right now, he's got a naval base here on the edge of Syria. He has troops into Syria. He can now, of course, threaten Jordan. He can threaten Iraq. And, of course, his planes are actually incursing into Turkey. The Turks have complained about him violating their airspace, and he can move against them. All this has tremendous prophetic significance if you read Ezekiel chapter 38. So that's where it all is. And that's the long game. So keep your eyes on what's happening. But we're giving it to him by default without him having to fire a shot. He's taking all this over. And our president is abdicating control of this entire region, which at this point has been the dominant, the United States has been the dominant.
the Middle East needs to be organized. Mm. That's what our president said. It needs to be organized. And coming from someone who taught Saul Alinsky's tactics, was mentored in his processes, Rules for Radicals, I mean, it looks like that's what's taking place.
Wow.
This is amazing, isn't it? When you're thinking about their concern is when your economy is based on the barrel of oil has to sell for $100.
Yeah.
And it's at $50 and you're responsible for your country, especially if you took all the money of the country and put it in your own little Swiss bank account. Or just hearsay. You know, hearsay.
That's what they say.
That's what they say. And so, but you look at this is the thing about what you learn as we live, is like Solomon says, I lived and I learned, I watched and I've learned and I've seen, that people have their own reasons why they're doing what they're doing. But if you'll find out and you watch, it's like, no, God is causing you to do that. Or the sin in you, the devil that your servant's causing you to do
that's
that.
That's right.
Because you think you've got a great idea, but it's not going to end well for you. Like nailing Jesus to the cross.
You got instructions from somebody.
They thought they were going to do away with Jesus. They thought they would do away with him, which is the worst thing they could have ever done because he was going to be raised from the dead. Mm-hmm. But they had to have those thoughts that they were going to be able to do away. And so you're looking at Putin, whatever his reasoning is, and the American dollar could just crumble overnight, especially since we're not standing for Israel. You look at 350 million whatever people in America not standing up for 8 million people in Israel, the only other true democracy representative government in the world, the pure representative government. And our dollar is based on Saudi Arabia. So you imagine the oil. So imagine if everybody in the world has to convert their money to your money before they buy anything or just oil. So it means it doesn't really matter what we're doing. We can print as much money as we want to because they still have to convert their money to our money.
Right.
As a matter of fact, I think we actually printed we have like $18 trillion debt. The true debt is like 100 and something million.
Yeah.
But just think about the money we're printing. But that's $100 trillion. But it's based on this, the true debt, 100 million. We have this on the torch, $100 trillion. But think about it. That's only because everybody has to convert their money to dollars to buy their oil. It's only because we cut a deal in 1973 with President Richard Nixon with the Saudis saying, if you'll provide us oil, we'll protect you. And they said, well, everything has to be traded in the dollar. That was a deal that was done the same year Roe versus Wade was done, when we said it gave permission to be able to kill children. 57 million children have been killed since then. And isn't it interesting, the very thing that's happening right now, and what was Kamal's book, Kamal Saleem?
It's called The Coalition.
The Coalition. The Coalition, I'm just going to tell you the end of it. He's going to be upset with me. But it ends just like this. What people are wanting, they're wanting Saudi Arabia because it's the biggest supplier of oil in the world. 268 billion barrels are in Saudi right now, and that's affecting $50, $80 billion barrel Russia. And they're thinking they want control over that. Well, you have, if you look at that map that was being shown, and hopefully we'll have that up for you, but if you go right through Syria, and Iraq's already invited President Putin in to be able to come into there to help him kill ISIS, you keep on running a pipeline. You can run it through Syria. You can run it through Iran and up into Russia. Next thing you know, there's a pipeline there for the thing that they have their economy on.
One big giant straw.
Yeah. And so oil, you know, when your economy's based on that. And so all of a sudden, Saudi goes, listen, we got to survive here. For some reason, you know, President Barack Obama's not for us like past presidents.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can't just be defeated here because they're very small countries. They're not large countries.
The majority of their people don't even work. They're all supported by the government, the oil.
Right, and you can see why Russia's having a lot of issues.
It's $30 million people that live there, and I think 6 to 8 million actually work.
Right, and if people get upset, they just cut them checks and say, here, go buy you a big screen television. They actually write them checks. And so here we are at this one moment where suddenly that deal that was done in 73 – which you probably should have never left the gold standard. You know, we should definitely not, you know, made oil that situation. But we did, and here we are. And it's the same year we said we can kill babies, too, legally. And now that's the issue that's still here all these years later. And it looks like right back to the root of that deal, we're possibly going to lose our relationship with Saudi Arabia. It submits up under Putin. And next thing you know, our $1 may buy you nothing. It may cost $25 for a gallon of gas. And it sounds like the book of Revelation when you think about that. But what I think about how Russia, this Gog and Magog, and we're going to have Joel Rosenberg talking about this, But remember this, the petrodollar, it's a very important thing. That was phrased by a professor in Georgetown University when he realized what was going on. He's an economic professor, and he realized that when they caught Hussein, remember when he was caught, Hussein, what did he have? He had tons of American dollars.
Yeah, cash.
You know, not if that time I didn't fully understand it, but he had to have those to be able to buy oil. Even though he had oil as a leader of Iraq, he still had to convert everything to dollars to be able to buy it. So that's why he had all those American dollar bills. Those things can change overnight to rubies or rubles, you know, for that. Can you imagine? And that prophetic word was that that we shared with you on a previous program, that in this Michael Bodia had this night vision where he saw the president of Russia, the president of China, and North Korea cutting a deal that said, why does the dollar have to be this petrodollar, basically saying, and they're basically making war against it. And here we are to this particular day. What does this mean prophetically? Let's look and listen to Joel Rosenberg talking about, is this time? Listen now.
Joining us now is New York Times bestselling author Joel Rosenberg. His latest book is The Third Target. He's got a new one coming out in December called The First Hostage. The thriller series is set in Syria amid the civil war. That's appropriate because the latest developments in Syria are why we're talking with him today. Joel, thanks for joining us at CBN News.
Great to be with you. Thank you.
So we have big developments happening in Syria. Russia is carrying out airstrikes, reports that Iranian troops are on the ground there. What do you make of all these developments?
Well, first of all, what we're watching is the result of a vacuum created by President Obama and his administration that are on the retreat from the Middle East, right? The president came into office in 2009 promising to end the war in Iraq, end the war in Afghanistan, and pull all U.S. forces out, and he has been systematically doing that. But in the same time, by doing so, and by really not quite fully abandoning Israel, but certainly creating a lot of distance and daylight between us and them, the president is ceding the field. He's creating a vacuum with the lack of American leadership, and people are getting nervous, right? The Jordanians are nervous because America doesn't seem to be strong, and our Arab allies count on American strength. The Egyptians, the Emirates in the Gulf, the Saudis, obviously the Israelis. And now what you're watching is Vladimir Putin, this rising czar in Russia, taking advantage of this vacuum and moving in.
Yeah, many Christians believe Russia plays a big role in end-time prophecy, the fate of Israel. Give us a little background and how you see us that playing out today.
Well, I am one of those people. My family as Orthodox Jews escaped out of Russia under the Tsar, Nicholas, back in the early 1900s. And we, as a family, are now our followers of Jesus Christ. And as we study the scriptures, what do we find? We find prophecies like Ezekiel 38 and 39, what many Bible scholars call the War of Gog and Magog. Very briefly, if you do the historical detective work to identify the different names and nations in that prophecy, you find that it's about a Russian alliance with Iran in the last days that will surround Israel and come against Israel, primarily from the north, though not exclusively, against Israel, to conquer it, to crush it, to destroy it, and to take its riches. Now, you know, in 2,500 years since Ezekiel, the Hebrew prophet, wrote that prophecy, we haven't seen a Russian-Iranian alliance in any of those years until, you know, of the last 10 to 15 years. We're watching an alliance between Russia and Iran emerge. I've written about it in a nonfiction book called Epicenter. I wrote about it in a fictional series, primarily the Ezekiel Option. I've been writing about it, warning about it, and now we actually are watching military operations for the first time with Russia and Iran cooperating now on the northern border of Israel. Now, let me just be clear. That's not yet to say that the prophecy has come true. But it does feel like the trajectory is moving in that direction.
Now, in the middle of this is Israel. And what does Israel do now? What can the Jewish state do to protect itself, defend itself in the middle of this hostility that's nearby?
Well, you need to divide that into two categories. The first category would be, humanly speaking, geopolitically speaking, Prime Minister Netanyahu took an emergency trip to Moscow just about a week and a half ago, met with President Putin in the Kremlin, and we don't know exactly what they talked about, but we believe from the news reports that the Syrian situation and the alliance between Russia and Iran was, you know, front and center, because Israel has got a very delicate situation. It's already trying not to get into the war in Syria, right? It's a civil war, 5 years running, 5 million people on the run from their homes, more than 250,000 people dead. There's no clear winner that we would think would be a good solution. So Israel doesn't want to get into that conflict. However, it cannot allow weapons of mass destruction, chemical weapons, or other advanced weapon systems to get into the hands of Hezbollah, for example, the terror organization that's run by Iran in Lebanon. So there's a number of issues where Israel has done airstrikes to take out units of Hezbollah that seem to be arming against Israel. So that's the geopolitical side. Israel has to figure out how to protect itself without getting involved directly in the civil war in Syria. But it also now has a new complication. It has to figure out how to make sure not to kill Russian soldiers and advisors that are operating in that theater. That's the geopolitical side. Very briefly, on the spiritual side, the nation of Israel needs to turn to the Lord and start praying and fasting and singing, and certainly the leaders do, but the nation as well, right? That's the biblical model, that people turn and say, Lord, you know, you're the God of Israel, you're our protector, just tell us what to do, and we'll do it. And we haven't seen that happen yet.
Islam has its own version of end-time prophecy. You've written about this. Tell us about how that is playing a role in all this, specifically how Iran is maybe following a script.
Right. Well, this is an issue that is a concern of mine. For many years, we've been talking about radical Islam, but now we have something called apocalyptic Islam. What is that? That's the situation where Iran's leadership, as well as the leadership of ISIS, they have an end-time theology. And I have written about this quite extensively. They believe that not only is the end of days here, but it's their job to bring about the end of the world by destroying Israel, which they call the little Satan, and the United States, which they call the great Satan. Clearly, President Obama and his team don't believe or aren't paying attention to the statements by Iran's leaders and ISIS leaders about their end-time theology and the genocidal behavior that would lead them to, in their own words. And that's a concern. And I'm trying to alert and educate the Republican presidential leadership, as well as leaders on Capitol Hill and in other countries. What is this apocalyptic Islam? Why is it different, related to, but different from radical Islam? Why is it more dangerous? I'm heading up to Toronto right now to speak at a conference there. Again, this is one of the topics. People have to understand that we're not talking about all of Islam. We're talking about a subset, less than 10%, which is radical Islam, and then an even smaller subset, which is apocalyptic. But these are the people that are running these two states, Iran and the Islamic State.
In fact, I know that you just spoke at the Values Voters Summit up in Washington last weekend. You told the audience there what to look for in the next president, who, you know, how that president should view these events. And our listeners can read all about that on your website at joelrosenberg.com. I want to ask you a final question. Christians are deeply concerned about the security of Israel. What can we do now? How do we pray? How do we support the Jewish state at this crucial time?
Well, we can't grow weary, first of all, of continuing to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. The Bible told us to do it. We need to keep doing it. It feels like, wow, we're always praying for the peace of Jerusalem. You're right, and we need to keep doing that. And but we also need to be praying that God gives us wisdom and discernment as to who the next leader of the country should be, as you alluded to or said directly, I guess, that when I spoke at the Values Voter Summit, I said we need to really be praying for a leader like Josiah, who in the Bible lived at a time when his country, Judah, was facing certain judgment for the evil they'd done, for their disobedience against God. And God yet raised up this leader, Josiah, who loved the Lord, who loved God's word, and who wanted to make bold reforms, trying to turn his country back in the right direction. And God blessed him and told Josiah, judgment's still coming. You can't get out of it. The train has left the station, but you won't see it in your lifetime because you've loved me. You've been tenderhearted towards me. You've tried to make good, strong changes and reforms. That's what I'm looking for. A leader who certainly understands how to turn us around and get us in the right direction. Again, I'm not talking about a theologian in chief. I'm not talking about a pastor in chief. It has to be within the Constitution, right? It's not a theocracy. But somebody who understands the U.S.-Israel relationship, why that's so important, and that if you turn away from Israel on top of all of our other natural sins and challenges, then God is not going to bless us. He may, in fact, turn his hand against us, according to the Abrahamic covenant, when God said about Israel, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And we do not want to put ourselves in that category, that second category, given all our other challenges.
It is a time when our leaders and all of us need to recognize the signs of the times and know how to pray and how to act. Joel Rosenberg, we appreciate you being with us. You can find Joel's latest book, The Third Target, at his website, joelrosenberg.com. You can also read his blog and learn more about the Joshua Fund, a ministry to mobilize Christians to bless Israel and her neighbors in the name of Jesus. Joel, thanks for being with CBN News today.
My pleasure. Great to be with you guys.
This is it. This looks like this is it. You're looking at Ezekiel 38. What happens in Ezekiel 38, if you'll read that, is, God's going to show himself mighty. You know, it's going to be in their heart. You know, first you're seeing them gather around oil. It's going to be in their heart, especially reports are today, John, right, that they discovered oil in Israel.
In Israel.
Today.
Near Syria Syria's border.
Yeah, and so they would want that. And so, but God's not going to give it to them. He'll come and show himself mighty and defend Israel. And there'll be a great loss of life when that happens. One of the words is it's going to take Ezekiel 38 and 39, where it's going to take 7 months to bury the bodies of the enemies of Israel and 7 years to burn the weapons. Mm. And you got to see this. We have so much available to you on the VFN Torch. Also, Christianity versus Islam, the Bible versus the Quran. I mean, you'll just see it firsthand. It's like this is very important days for us to pay attention.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Amazing, amazing, the things that we're seeing, the times, what's coming to pass. I want to encourage you, you know, make sure you also join us in our next program. We're going to be having, you know, Bridget Gabrielle on, who is a survival of radical Islam, who tried to destroy her family and took her nation from her, and her speaking at the Value Voters Summit on explaining, you know, Islam, explaining. We need to understand what's really going on right here because
from someone who experienced it firsthand.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, when you're looking at the Arab League of Nations that came to us and said, listen, we will pay for this war against ISIS if you'll do it, America. And you look at the size of the country. We're the third largest country in the world. There's a reason why these small countries come to America. Although we're 5% of the world's population, for example, we're the third largest country, the most, probably the wealthiest country. It's a blessed country. Mm. And the president basically just passed that football off to Putin, the president of Putin, and here he is. And so you have Iraq saying, hey, come down and help us. You have, you know, the president drew a red line, remember, and said with President Assad, the president of Syria, you know, you got to go.
And, if he uses chemical weapons and on his own people. And it was,
but he's still saying, you got to go. And so here it is, you know, and so Putin's coming in defending the president of Syria. And it's like, these are crazy days. But understand this, that when you understand Islam, you're looking at Russia and Islam partnering together to be able to do some crazy things on the face of the earth And we'll talk more about that in our next program. Make sure you join us there. I want to thank everyone that's standing with us, praying for us. Please remember to pray for us. We need prayer. You know, we need the mercies of God. We want to continue.
Yes.
As long as the Lord will have us to be here with you. And we want to pray for you too. Let's just pray. Father God, Lord, we love you. We thank you for letting us know prophetically what we're going to see. Years in advance, you told us, and here it is. It's coming to pass. Lord, we pray for the protection of Israel, the peace of Jerusalem, the salvation of Israel. We pray for the church, Lord, throughout the Middle East and in America and throughout the world, that you would protect them. We pray for the persecuted church, God, that you would free them from these prisons and persecution. God, in the sex slavery that's taking place with radical Islam, Lord, that you would just break that, but that wouldn't happen, and free them, Father God. And I pray for our own nation to awake and the church to awaken, Father God, in America to understand these are perilous days, but when we stand with you, when we stand with you, all things are possible. But if we stand against you, it's not going to be good. God, I pray, Lord God, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening. We pray in Jesus' name. God bless. Thank you so much for watching and joining us. God bless. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.